Good morning, and welcome to Ferreycorp's second quarter 2020 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of i-advize Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to Ferreycorp's second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Presenting on behalf of Ferreycorp and joining us from Lima, Peru, are Mrs. Mariela García, Chief Executive Officer, and Mrs. Patricia Gastelumendi, Chief Financial Officer. They will be discussing Ferreycorp and subsidiaries' consolidated results per the press release distributed by the company on Monday, July 27th. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings report, please visit www.ferreycorp.com.pe to download a copy, where there is also a webcast presentation to accompany discussion during this call. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. Please be advised that comments made today by Ferreycorp's management may contain forward-looking statements, which are subject to various conditions that may differ materially. For a complete note on forward-looking results, please refer to the last page of the quarterly report. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Mariela García, Chief Executive Officer of Ferreycorp. Mariela, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafael. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ferreycorp and subsidiaries conference call. Thanks for joining us and your interest in the company. Today, we will review a brief presentation, which is available in our website, to discuss the main highlights and the company results for the second quarter and first semester 2020, according to the financial statement published last Monday. Let's start with slide four, where I will begin with a brief introduction. Ferreycorp's second quarter 2020 results show the complete effect of the operational halt and subsequent gradual recovery. Second quarter results show the hardest impact from the COVID-19 quarantine measures and lockdown as a result of the state of emergency to contain the spread of coronavirus. April had very little commercial and operating activity, and it was only by mid-May that Ferreycorp subsidiaries, with suspended activities, received the authorization from the Health and Production Ministry to restart operations, adopting all the security measures that the current situation demands, and according to the phases established as part of the economic reactivation plan. We are well-positioned for these challenging times, being our first priority the health and welfare of our employees, customers, suppliers, and other partners. The subsidiaries began the gradual recovery of the business and process that require physical presence, either at their own facilities or product support activities at the customer site, and the delivery of machine and spare parts, even those that can be executed by digital channels that are being promoted among customers. It is worth noting that activity levels have been gradually increasing. In this way, sales for May increased by 75% compared to April, and sales for June rose by 36% compared to May. It should be noted that June sales represent 75% to 80% of pre-COVID sales levels. The focus of management during this past semester has been to keep contact with customers and strengthen the relationship to constantly assess the business environment and outlook for months to come, and to preserve business continuity by controlling expenses, assuring access to cash, and working capital management. We're optimistic about the future of the Peruvian economy. We keep focused in market coverage in order to detect commercial opportunities that can leverage our sales growth based on our segmented value proposition approach to different industries and segments. We are expecting more activity related to infrastructure creation and maintenance, both at the local or national levels. We have started to see more activity in local governments to contract works and small and medium-sized contractors are already starting to win some bids. Before finishing this introduction, I would like to mention, as informed last Thursday, that we had our shareholders' annual meeting where important decisions were taken. First, a dividend distribution of 146 million soles, which equals to 15 cents, 0.153 per share. The record and payment date will be settled by the board in following weeks. And another important matter that was revealed is that board members were elected for the period 2022 through 2023, and board is composed by 9 members, from which 4 are independent directors. Please turn now to slide 6 of our earnings presentation to discuss financial highlights for first semester and then for second quarter 2020. Consolidated sales for the first semester declined by 27% compared to those of the first semester 2019 and amounted to 1.9 billion soles, reflecting the full-scale impact of the operational halt and subsequent recovery following the resumption of our commercial activities. Operations gradually resumed in May, and to date, activities related to mining operate at 75% capacity, while activities related to the construction sector operate at a 30% capacity. Likewise, the corporation continued to maintain a high gross margin of 25%, similar to gross margin for the first semester 2019, benefited from the sales mix where spare parts and services amounted to 48% of total sales. In turn, operating profit was down 58% to 109 million soles, led by lower gross profit that was not offset completely by the reduction in SG&A. Expenses amounted to 398 million soles and as a percentage of total sales increased to 20.1% from 16.1% as of June 2019, even though they showed a reduction of 8.6%. It is worth noting that the company has taken several measures to reduce expenses, with a bigger effort in the second quarter, where expenses show a decline of 18% compared to the same period last year. The reduction comes from expenses such as maintenance, consultancy, traveling, events, and advertising, freight, training, and also some fixed contract with personnel that came to an end and we didn't renew in view of the lower economic activity. Reduction in expenses also derived from recording vacation period from our personnel and a voluntary reduction in salary. Financial expenses for this semester amounted to 51 million soles and increased by 5% and compared to similar period last year as a result of the average debt that increased by 26% with this part of the year, mainly driven by the strategy of the corporation to privilege liquidity, which we will explain later. We must point out that average cost of debt went from 4.08% as of June 2019 to 3.38% as of June 2020. As of June, the corporation results were also affected by 96 million soles foreign exchange loss, which impacted the bottom line and resulted in a 25 million soles net loss. Unlike first semester 2019, where results were favored by a forex gain for 33 million soles. It is worth noting that FX loss recorded in this semester is accounting-wise, since the inventory is registered in euro soles but will be sold in dollars. As of June, the inventory reserve is in the range of 90 million soles. Year-to-date, EBITDA amounted to 202 million soles and fell 46% compared to EBITDA reported on the same period last year, affected by the lower sales and all the situation of the shutdown. The corporation reported 20.2% EBITDA margin. We expect that EBITDA will go back to normal levels by fourth quarter. Average EBITDA in first 2 months this year, that is January and February, before COVID, was 52 million soles. EBITDA in April and May were 6 and 17 million soles. But by June, we are close to pre-COVID levels. Let me mention now comparisons quarter to quarter, second quarter 2020 versus second quarter 2019. Results during the second quarter show the complete effect of the operational halt, as we mentioned before, and also the subsequent gradual recovery. Sales declined by 41.2% year-to-year and amounted to 805 million soles. As mentioned before, operations in Peru resumed just by mid-May, or late May at the end. Gross profit shrank by 42% and amounted to 203 million soles, led by lower sales. Gross margin reached to 25.2%, a comparable margin level to previous quarters as a result of the sales mix where product support maintained a high share in total sales of 47%, and also allied equipment sales that represented 7% of total sales. In turn, operating profit went down 76% and reached 32 million soles, impacted by gross profit reduction, even though SG&A expenses shrank 19% to 179 million soles. Thus, operating margin recorded 4%. It is important to recall that SG&A expenses decreased from first quarter 19%, as I mentioned before, led by lower operating expenses in maintenance, advertising, promotion, training, consulting, traveling, personal expenses, among others. Second quarter EBITDA fell 62% year-to-year to 74 million soles, taking the EBITDA margin down to 9.2%. Now move on to slide 7 to review the net income during the second quarter 2020. Net loss during the second quarter reached to 4 million soles, so minus 4 million soles, mainly explained by EBITDA that, as I mentioned before, dropped by 62% or 120 million soles as a result of lower sales that affected growth and operating profit. FX loss that increased 25 million soles impacted by the volatility of the exchange rate that led to the devaluation of the local currency against the dollar in 2.88%. Without the FX loss, positive results should have been recorded during this tough month. All of this offset partially by a lower depreciation and amortization that went down 28% or 15 million soles, and also by a lower income tax that dropped in 48 million soles. We'll now review the commercial performance. Please turn to slide 9 to explain the behavior of main lines of business during the second quarter. When analyzing the results by business lines, almost all were affected by the operations halt during more than half of the quarter. All business lines show negative growth rates. Rental and used equipment declined by 68%, spare parts and services shrank 49%, and Caterpillar equipment for sectors other than mining declined 48%. These results were partially offset by higher sales of Caterpillar mining trucks and equipment that amounted to 70 million soles and went up 25%, led by deliveries to two important mining customers. This business line represents 9% of total sales. As I stated before, we have started to witness a recovery since May, more deeply in spare parts and services business lines and Caterpillar for machines for sectors other than mining. Please, let's go to slide 10 to review cash generation and liability management. When quarantine started in March 15, we adopted two immediate measures. One of them was to cut down on expenses where possible, and the other was to assure financial resources to keep the company's creditworthiness and ability to pay its liabilities. As stated in the company's financial strategy, the corporation had access to various sources of financing in order to guarantee liquidity, competitive cost of financing, and appropriate terms. Ferricorp used all the available sources and kept an important amount of cash to face contingent liabilities. We kept excess cash for approximately $200 million for some weeks, but since June, we started to prepay some financings and are returning to an adequate leverage. Since mid-March, Ferricorp drew $298 million from CAT Financial and local banks to provide liquidity to cover expenses, payments of local suppliers, importation of inventory, replenishment, and for contingencies. As a result, financial debt increased from $625 million in mid-March to a peak of $863 million in April, keeping a cash balance of $250 million. As you can see in the chart, during this month, the company generated positive operating cash flow and also received an advance payment of $133 million from a mining customer. These funds were used to repay debt for $223 million, resulting in total debt of $669 million as of June, and a cash balance of $100 million that we are planning to continue adapting to more normal levels. In fact, as of July 17, debt outstanding has reached $599 million, an amount comparable to pre-pandemic debt levels. It is important to point out that through these tough conditions, free cash flow came to $210 million in second quarter 20, mainly driven by operating cash flow of $298 million. Finally, on July, let me mention that in July, Ferricorp issues $90 million through a private placement at an interest rate of 4.45% for 7 amortizable years with a 3-year grace period. This allows us to improve the debt maturity schedule, reducing the short-term debt to less than 50% of total debt. In this way, maturities for 2020 account for $174 million. Leverage ratio as of June amounted to 4.05, and the adjusted debt to EBITDA ratio reached to 3.22, still within our covenant limit of 3.5. Of course, these ratios have been affected by the operation halt, but should go to normal levels in the next month. Financial expenses during the quarter posted a 14% increase and amounted to 28 million soles as a result of more financial liabilities delivered by the corporation strategy, derived from by the corporation strategy to privilege liquidity, as we have just explained, in order to improve our financial position, and in part offset by a reduction in the average cost of debt that went from 3.9 in second quarter last year to 3.53 in second quarter this year. Financial expenses during the second quarter were also impacted by IFRS 16 implementation by almost $1 million. Now move to slide 12 to review the state of financial position main accounts. As of June 2020, total assets amounted to 6.2 billion soles and increased by 10% if compared to June 2019. The variation in total assets is explained by, first, cash and cash equivalent that rose by 368 million soles as part of the strategy taken by the corporation to increase liquidity that we have already explained. And additionally, by inventory that rose by 188 million soles led by machines and parts that will be delivered in the upcoming months. We expect to achieve a reduction in inventory levels in third and fourth quarter as the company already has a stock to serve future demand throughout the year with progressive deliveries to customers in line with the ongoing recovery of the economy. Another increase in the assets came from intangible assets that have been increasing in the last 3 years due to the investment in ERP implementation. We refer to this when we explain our CapEx. The cash conversion cycle compared to June 2019 went from 163 to 198 days as of June 2020. This result is mainly impacted by inventory days that rose from 155 to 187 because inventory ordered before the shutdown continued to arrive. Collection days were stable in 63 days and payable days reduced from 55 to 52 days. Now let's turn to slide 13 to discuss our CapEx. Net investment in fixed assets as of June 2020 reached $10 million, composed mainly by the following: $4 million that were invested in infrastructure and work in progress, mainly for additional work in the component relief center in La Jolla, and refurbishing Ferrero's main warehouse facility in order to update to best practices on height and width in corridors. $3 million to replace units in the rental fleet, and $2 million for components for mining equipment. These $10 million were invested mainly in the first quarter, with $7 million. The investment in intangible assets reached to 28 million soles or $8 million, mainly related to the implementation of the ERP SAP S/4HANA platform. Ferrero should go live in the second semester 2020, really in the fourth quarter. From that date, we will start to record the corresponding amortization according to the deadlines established by current accounting regulations. Since the beginning of the project in 2016, Fericom has invested PEN 212 million soles. It is important to mention that due to this challenging situation, we have adjusted the CAPEX budget for this year from the original $50 million to $20 million or even less. Capital expenditures in the second semester will be controlled and related to refurbishing and work in progress in some facilities, even though the investment in rental fleet will depend on the recovery of the construction sector. I want to close my presentation now with some remarks. We consider that the results of this semester, first semester, and moreover the results in the second quarter reflect the ability of the company to face and manage challenging times with the support and commitment of our employees. We are optimistic about the future of the business scenario in the remainder of the year, led by the strength of the industries we serve that shall lead the economic recovery of the countries where we operate, supported by the strong capabilities we have built. We'll continue with our strategy aimed to profitable growth and shareholder value creation, leadership in the market where we have presence, high customer satisfaction, and positive impact in stakeholders. Thank you for your time now, and we'll be glad to take your questions. To make sure that any telephone line issues does not interfere with our understanding of your questions, I would like to request that, if possible, when any one of you make a question, shall try to send it at the same time in writing through an email to our IR contact, Elizabeth Tamayo, who is in the call with us. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. And we will pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And our first question comes from the line of Luis Pardo with Compass Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mariela. First of all, congratulations on the quarter. It was a difficult quarter, and you have to be one of the few companies in the country that generated positive EBITDA in this quarter, a cyclical company that generated positive EBITDA. And the management of the balance sheet and liquidity have been very, very good. I just have one quick clarification. If I heard you right, you did about $50 million in EBITDA in June. And things continue to improve as mines continue to ramp up. If we assume that there's no further improvements in June, that should be your EBITDA run rate for the second half of the year, which should bring you close to $500 million for the year. Is that correct?
Thank you, Luis, and thank you for always participating in the calls and following with questions or comments. And yes, as you point out, now in June we're around the 50 million, which is somewhat similar to the average in the first two months of the year. That should be a reasonable level. However, there's still some uncertainty on what is the level of demand we're going to face in the months to come. But if things continue as we have started to see in June and part of July, that should be the situation. Now, at this moment, we cannot confirm that, our view is also in those same lines. And as we mentioned before, we are going to be more present in the market with this type of meetings, because in this uncertain moment, it is better that we come and update in a more regular basis.
Perfect. And if let's say things continue the way they are, limiting the CapEx and considering there's no working capital, no big investments in working capital going forward, then you should have more than enough cash to fund the dividend, no?
Exactly, Luis, and that was the rationale behind maintaining the proposal that was made in February before COVID, The board, based in information that management provided, kept the decision of moving forward with that proposal because of all these numbers that you are commenting.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And
however, and probably I will anticipate to I don't know if someone was going to ask that. However, we don't have a firm date right now. We are going to present numbers to our board by the end of August, and we will make a decision by then or during September of what is going to be the payment date.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you still have to figure out, this is a positive recovery, but we have to consolidate it. So that makes a lot of sense that there's no worries
exactly
on that, but it looks like you have enough cash. So it makes a lot of sense that you're taking the cautious approach like you did with the balance sheet during the second quarter. So again, I think it's the right thing to do, but I appreciate you giving back to shareholders when you seem like you're going to generate the cash now. So
exactly.
Thank you again and congratulations.
Thank you.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. And we will move next with Cesar Perez Novoa with BTG Pactual. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and I hope you're all well and so friends, colleagues, and family. And thank you very much for providing the detailed breakdown of monthly sales. There has been some material progress on revenues until June, and considering that you just mentioned that the mining industry is operating at 70% of capacity and construction by around 30%, when do you expect your sales to normalize or at least hit pre-COVID levels? If I understood correctly, you also mentioned EBITDA normalization by the fourth quarter. Correct me if I'm wrong. It would be very helpful if you could state a level or margin. Thank you.
Yeah, so as we mentioned, now there's 75% and 30% in construction that you are commenting, and we expect that by October we should be back in normal sales levels and EBITDA levels. But again,
okay.
It is too early to really know how the market is going to evolve and how this demand is going to be maintained. No, so we will continue to come back and inform how the things are progressing. But our view is that by October we should be back to normal sales and EBITDA levels.
Okay, Mariel, if I may further ask, how much pending machinery orders do you have for Mina Justa and Quellaveco? And is there any foreseeable project that may drive revenues as we head into 2021? Can you provide some color on that?
So for Mina Justa, I think we already delivered everything. You know, when we start in a green field, we receive a purchase order to start a project to bring the first fleet, and then there can be some additions, no, to it. But the main order for starting the mine was already delivered. And in Quellaveco, deliveries are through 2021. I think we already delivered like a third of that, or this year. No, moreover, the advance payment from customer that we received is related to that project. It's around 170 million soles. One third is related to inventory we already have in our hands, and we're going to deliver throughout this year. Another third is inventory that we're going to deliver. One third is deliveries that we already made. Another third is deliveries that we will be made in the second semester, and the other third is deliveries for next 2021 first semester. No, so we're gradually delivering those units and recording the sales of those units. We record the sale when we deliver, and the unit is already operating in the site. No. Related to that, we can comment that in our inventory we have $85 million of equipment for large mining deals, mainly related to that Quellaveco operation. Regarding new projects, there's many projects in the pipeline, and we have seen in the discussion in the country in the last weeks that mining is an industry well-positioned to drive growth in the country. And the list of projects that we have almost ready to operate if other aspects happen. But at the moment, no new announcements, no? However, as I mentioned before, the existing mines that place the first large order when they are green fields and they're going to start, then they have some additions. And we have some opportunities for the remaining months, even of this year and next year. No, but it's 1, 2, 3 pieces of equipment, not a large order. And we're still waiting, everybody's waiting in the country for the news of one project moving forward, no? But we're still expecting that can happen in the following months. And, of course, that wouldn't be a sale for 2021, no?
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, thank you very much, Mariela. I guess that with the current commodity prices that we have today, maybe you'll hear some good news in the medium term. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Cesar.
And our next question comes from Tunde Ojo with Harding Loevner. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Good morning, Mariela and the team. Thanks for the presentation. Can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay, good. Thanks. So I wanted to see if you, I'm curious to see if you can provide the margin on the allied equipment segment. I know you mentioned that it was helpful to sort of protect your gross profit margin, given what we saw on the spare parts and services side. Is that a number you can share, just to get a sense of how attractive the margin on that segment is?
Thank you. Good morning, Tunde, and thank you. Mm-hmm. Hello. Yeah, so in Allied, the Allied line that helped revenues in this second quarter through the shutdown was mainly our Trex operation in Chile and some Allied equipment in Central America. You know, the health of in the economy in Central America and Chile was much lower than what we saw in Peru. Now, in Chile, for example, mining never closed. And in Central America, several of the sectors that we serve were considered the critical ones, so they continue to operate. So it's a various lines of businesses, and difficult to give you just one margin, no? But it will be more in the range of 12 to 15%. And those Allied products have a less product support opportunity through the year. There's an opportunity, but much lesser than a mining truck, for example.
Yeah. So the 12 to, thanks. So the 12 to 15% you mentioned, is that operating margin? Is that EBITDA margin?
Gross
margin. Yeah. But it was much lower than that before. Is that the reason why it helps your gross profit margin? Because your gross profit margin on average is way higher than this number you just gave. So I was wondering how that would...
Yeah, well, the situation is the recovery of FX loss, no? So some of those sales also are this explanation we always give, that when we have FX loss, we have a reserve in inventories. So part of that increase in gross margin was that we were selling inventory, mainly in Chile, that was bought at a much lower exchange rate. Devaluation in Chile was bigger than what we have in Peru. For some months, the FX loss in Chile was the same level of Peru, where our operation in Chile is much lower, but the devaluation there was bigger. So we have recovered a part of the FX loss that we had in that area.
Okay, thanks. And then just a different question now is on the recovery. You know, you mentioned you're seeing, and you know, your slide shows a month-to-month recovery in the sales number. Are you seeing similar level of recovery going into the second quarter, you know, in July? And do you expect that to sort of gradually continue that way and, you know, sort of reach, you know, pre-COVID level, as you said, maybe around September, October, I don't know. And in addition to that question is, which segments are you seeing recovering faster than the others? And we talked about mining, construction, spare parts and services. Are there differences in the recovery rates you're seeing between them?
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, in June we saw a much better sales level than May was just the restart, you know, going back to operation. It was even only May 18 and some days to put our act together. So it's mainly June where we were full operative. And the demand levels are not complete as what we saw before. It's very difficult to restart operations. Now, in the mines, you have to move all people up there. Some tests are being made by mining companies, so the personnel is being tested, then kept in a quarantine for a couple of weeks. The number of days now is being reduced. At the beginning, it was 2 weeks. Now, I think it's 10 days or even 4 days if they use the other type of test, the molecular ones. So it took some months, some days to have everybody up there. But even now, after some days have passed and all this process of making the test and moving people up to the mine have already passed, still, in the mines, we don't have 100% people. Mining companies, I mean, are not keeping 100% people up there. No, they are very careful. And everybody in the country and in the industries is very careful to control and prevent from contagion, massive contagions. No? So that is explaining a little bit why even with a good market out there for our minerals, we're not operating at full capacity, being careful and understanding how to work in this new environment. No? But as we mentioned before, we expect that by October we should go back to normal levels. And we don't have the firm dates of July right now of sales, so that's why I'm not commenting them. It's too early. We're still starting to receive information from the different companies in the corporation. But it seems that July has been a good month, as we saw in June. So we're continuing to see this positive trend, and we're still... our vision is still that by October we will be back to normal level. So mining is one portion of the demand. You know, mining is 50-55% of our revenue. So we count on mining, and we are seeing them back with this carefulness that I explained, but they are back to business completely. And then we are expecting more demand from construction. We have seen in these first 2 weeks that local governments are buying equipment or are bidding work, small work, but there's some activity already in the local levels, no? And when local governments public bid for some work, then it drives some demand for equipment. So we're seeing that, and we expect that will continue to happen, and that we expect that will also happen at the national levels with some projects or infrastructure creation or maintenance, you know. We're also expecting that the reconstruction of the northern part of Peru that has been awarded to the British government should start to move some equipment pretty soon.
Yeah. Okay. That's very helpful. And on the spare parts and services, is that also improving as well besides just the sale of machines? Or is that slower?
Yes. So as soon as the trucks run again, they need parts again, no? So that is going to again, there's some lag, no? And again, there's going to be some desire. Everybody is protecting results and controlling the DNA, so there can be some intent to postpone a little bit some repairs, but nothing relevant.
Right. Okay. And then a question that I have, and I don't know if you have the answer right here, is on the the Anglo-American project, the Qualavaco. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but
Okay.
Thank you. How much of that project has been sort of postponed from this year to next year? I know nothing has changed in the overall cost of the project, but just in terms of the timing, do you have a sense of how much has been deferred from this year to next year from that, from what you initially expected before the pandemic?
Yeah. So they were affected as every company in Peru and as every mine in Peru. They have to bring people down from the mine. So there was like a freeze for 60, 90 days, no? And that will imply for us to move around $10 million from this year to next year. So a couple of trucks that won't be delivered this year, but next year. That's all the impact we're seeing there, no?
Okay, very helpful. Thanks.
There was also an impact. Because we were preparing to have the mine operating 2-3 months before than what it's going to finally going to be, because there was this 90 days that everybody has been postponed in everything, no? So we had we were preparing, and we have been explaining last year that the increase in expenses was coming from pre-work to be ready to give the support in the mine. So we were having some expenses, and the revenues are being postponed. No? We have taken some measures, so people that were going to hire were postponing some hirings, but it had an impact for a while in expenses.
Got it. Okay, thanks. And the last one for me is on the balance sheet side, right? You know, you have a covenant, which is, I think, 3.5 times adjusted net debt to EBITDA. You know, you're close to that level right now, 3.2 at the end of June. I was wondering if you think there's, you know, what if you can assign a probability to you ever breaching that covenant, given what you can see. And if you do, what are the consequences? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. So no, we don't think we're going to miss it. And what we see is that everything is going, all the ratios and indicators are going to improve, you know, from the worst moment that we have had. Everything is much better now that we are back to business and that we're seeing this positive trend and that we're expecting that by October we should be at normal level. So we don't see any indicator worsening, but on the contrary, you know. But even in an unforeseen scenario, I don't see it at all. But even if it would be the case, I think we have most of our debt with the local banks, 4 or 5 banks, and Cat Financial, and all of them have been. And now we have this private placement with Prudential. So it's only 6 parties. No, and all of them have been supportive in the roughest times. So they are all well aware what the country and what the world is living, no? And they have come to the party in the middle of the worst moment. So, of course, everybody understands that in an extreme, extraordinary situation as what we were having, there could be some breach of covenants, but I think we passed the worst time. So they, even in those worst moments, were backing and supporting us. Of course, we could be discussing some agreement for a temporal agreement, but we don't see it now at all.
Yeah, no, I get that. I was just curious more in terms of whether there will be maybe a penalty or whether there could be a restriction on dividend payment, any sort of, you know, covenant agreements that, you know, could, you know, sort of be triggered if this is breached. I mean, I understand what you said that, you know, you don't see it. And I sort of agree with that, given that this is a worst quarter and it wasn't breached. I was just, you know, trying to be, I wanted to have it in my head what the worst case situation could be in the situation that we could see a breach of that level. You know, what exactly do the banks or Cat Financial would demand from you in that
Okay. So of course, when there's a breach of those covenants, there are some restrictions, no? But we don't see that scenario.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tunde.
And it appears that we have no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the program back to Mrs. Garcia for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. So I want to thank everybody for participating in our conference call and for your continuous interest in Ferricorp. In case you have any additional questions or any additional need for information, please don't hesitate to contact us. We have Patricia and Lizzie here with us in the call. And we, the three of us and all of our relation department and management team, will be happy to answer your questions. And as I mentioned before, we are planning to have another call before we have to provide three quarter results, so we can update you on how is the market evolving, how is demand evolving, how are we doing in this abnormal situation. So keep posted and see you soon and have a good day. Thank you.